The new life purpose here is that we receive the promise, number one. Two, that we experience freedom. And three, that we become world changers. We change the world. The greatest influence in our world is the church. Amen. The only way Jesus can do what Jesus does, and the only way he can finish what he started, is through his bride. Amen. And so he's in fellowship with his bride in such a way that this relationship produces sons and daughters, his children, that are his representatives. They look like him. They walk like him. They talk like him. They do greater works than he did when he was in flesh on the earth. Now, if anybody would like to be a part of that kind of family, I'm telling you today, you're closer to it than you've ever been in your life. When you got up this morning, the mercies of God were made new and fresh. Amen. And he was reaching for you regardless of what happened yesterday or in the past. He sees you in the moment. And he's proud of you, and he's excited about his plans for you, and he has things he wants to talk to you about, but he's waiting on us to give him an ear to hear what his spirit is saying. So if you would, for the next few moments, as I enter into talking to you what God's put on my heart, is if you would just laser in. We heard that this past week. I believe it was Serene that made that remark, that laser in. You have been given the gift of God to feel after him. I'm not far. This is what he says to you and I. I'm not far from anyone. That means you and me. That feel after me. So you can laser in right now. And if you would do that and just kind of clear everything out. I know you've got bills to pay and you've got challenges and the business is up against it. And the relationships around you may be on rocks and all that stuff that's going on in our environment, because we're in a great environment right now for you to step up and shine for Jesus. So listen a few moments here. Just laser into the innermost spirit. You know how to do that. Amen. God calls it the secret place. Amen. The place where you and him can really connect. It's on the innermost part of your being. Amen. Anybody have an imagination? Oh, yeah, you've been there a few times. The greatest inventions always come out of someone that understands how to take advantage of the imagination that God gives them. Inside of you right now, go into the inner parts, that place. Don't look at the person in the mirror. Look at the person inside of you that God sees. And there may be some stuff that you need to get out of that room that's there because you see yourself in a negative light. You've heard many voices that said you're a failure, you're a loser, you're guilty, there's shame. All that stuff will try to go there, and the Lord's waiting on you to release it to him. He wants to show you in that innermost part of your being. Out of your belly is about to flow rivers of living water. Amen. Anybody ready to go on that journey with him today? So tune in to what the Spirit's saying right now, because he's in love with you. Amen. Good season right now we're in. Lots of trouble going on in our world. Lots of anxiety, lots of people not knowing what's going to happen next. And I done some checking with Daddy, and he ain't bothered by none of it. Matter of fact, he's excited about the resistance, because now he gets to flex his muscles and show you how strong he is. You got the biggest daddy on the street. Amen. And by the way, he ain't having to win again. He's already won it. He's already won it. So what are we trying to win now? What battle are we trying to take and win on our own? Ask yourself that question, because let me tell you, it will steal your identity from you if you're fighting that battle. The battle is not yours. It's God's. Whatever war's going on inside, whatever challenge is happening in you, he wants you to lay that at his feet. Amen. And if you'll give it up, he's got something in return for you today that's going to validate who you really are. Amen. And it's time to take back our identity in Christ. I remember times in my life, I don't like to have to reflect on that, but when I do, it helps me realize how good God is. I've made more mistakes. I've made bad decisions in my life that when I made those decisions and when I allowed myself to go in places that I should not have gone, the enemy used that to steal my identity. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And he's after you doubting who you are. And he will strategically set up circumstances in our life because he knows well what he's doing. He knows our emotional challenges. He understands some of the things that were going on while we were being formed in my mother's womb. And he will manipulate those events in our life to make us make bad choices, and then we just cannot recover unless God does something mighty in our life. You say, well, Pastor Lowe, have you done things that you could? Yes, I've done. I've done things without God, there's no way to recover. Only with God can you recover. There has to be something powerful, something life-changing that happens in order for you to recover from the things, amen, that happen in a moment that now are in the past. And we found out when you go and open the door to your past and you look around in there, you'll find weapons that you didn't know were there available for you all the while. But regardless of the fact that we can go into our past and start recovering all the weapons that belong to us, we have to take back our identity. We must make the choice. And so having that rendezvous with God that brings us to a place where when we get pushed by the enemy, he can't push us any longer and win. You see, when we're baptized into Christ, the house is swept. Amen. That's beautiful, isn't it? That we can repent, we can change the way we think, we can agree with what God's saying, and we can say, well, I don't understand it, but I agree with it. We go down in water, we're baptized in this, we have identity. The house is swept and garnished, but now we need someone to occupy it. Right? And Jesus gave an illustration to Israel in that day. You know, and he's talking straight at Israel about the fact that, hey, look, the house was swept and garnished. You had an opportunity, but you didn't let me come in. And the enemy that was taken out went back and got seven more spirits worse than himself, and the latter state of that person is worse than the former. So one thing to do is say and have a conversation with God and agree with, but we've got to let him on the inside. There has to be experiences that happen that deliver us from ever being challenged with fear winning again. Faith has to have its place in our life. Amen. And that's where the presence of God, the love of God, can do what he does best. I hope this is helping you, and we want to talk about that today because all of us are challenged at some point, amen, to make sure that he's occupying the house. We want to talk about that today. You see, remember when there are Jesus moments all around us, and our identity is paramount for him to manifest in our existing moments right now. And so we come to a place where there's a key ask. Help, Lord. Help me. Because he's never going to respond to complaint. When I'm complaining, he don't meet me there in my complaints. He waits till I get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And then I say, Lord, will you help me? And he's right there in that moment. He's right there. The moment I ask for help, he's there. Anybody complain lately? Anybody pointing out some things that just ain't fair? And you're even telling Jesus about him, but he ain't responding. I read it last week about Gideon, how that when the angel of the Lord, theophany of God, manifests there in front of him and said, "Look, O mighty man of valor, peace be to you." That Gideon says, "Hey, hold it, time out. I'm ready for this conversation now. If God, then why? 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 Why?" And did the Lord respond to any of that? No. He carries on his conversation away from the complaints and the heartburn that Gideon had. I'm going to read here real quick. So it's the only passage I'm going to read today. Judges 6:11. "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizanite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.' And Gideon said to him, 'Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us,'" he starts complaining right now, why has all this happened to us, and where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us, delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Anybody saying that to him about coronavirus and isolation and political unrest? Anybody saying that right now? Because I want to pause for a minute, just encourage you that we're kind of like in Gideon's situation right now. It's different. His situation was that, you know, back then he was being oppressed in a way that they were actually running in caves and hiding in, you know, strongholds. Today, our world, we're running all right, but we're running, amen, and we're hiding, amen, in places of guilt. We're hiding in this idea of, you know, I believe it's this way and it should be done this way, whether it's political, whether it's social. We've got all these things that we've built as strongholds in our mind, and that we're right, and we're hiding there, and we're tooting our horn, and we're trying to exist in a world that without God we cannot exist in. And the pressure is on right now, and the voices are loud, and they're screaming at us. And these voices are no different than the spirits that were speaking against Israel in that day. Intimidation, holding us captive. We're prisoner to, amen, society around it. And if God don't set us free, it's going to overtake us. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so captivity may have been different, a different look in Gideon's day, but how many are in prison right now to the way you think and to the world and surroundings and the social unrest? And my goodness, the fact that we're isolated in our world right now. "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?' And he said to him, 'My Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.'" And God's not even responding to that. "And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.'" Amen. Does anybody believe you can win right now? Got two or three. That's right, because the truth is doubt, fear, and unbelief is still pushing against faith, hope, and love. Can anyone agree? And we've got a decision to make. Either we believe what the Lord's report is, or we believe all the other voices that are screaming right now. Regardless, the voices, regardless of what they are, it's religious. And people are worshiping voices. What you believe, amen, what you hold in your heart, what you speak out of your mouth, tells everybody who your faith is in. And we can't serve two masters. We're going to serve just the one. Amen? So the circumstances and the challenges that Gideon faced are no different than what we are presently facing. And so while Israel is under siege to their enemy, the enemy focuses their attack solely on the faith of who they were and their identity as children of God. The enemy wanted to take them out. And so the Amorites, they were masters at witchcraft and sorcery. Do a little bit of study, you'll find that very interesting. And they were masters at it, and so much so that they could channel through idols. And the god during that day was Baal. And if you go read your history, this channeling, this witchcraft and sorcery that was going on actually counterfeited what God could do. And there are stories of people that when they would worship these idols unto Baal, that there would be miracles like healings and deliverances for the people. And they manipulated the people. And Israel saw the might of the manipulation and fell prey to it and became afraid and come under, because the Amorites recognized that Israel had a weakness, and they went after their identity. And the next thing you know, Israel is running and hiding from the enemy. I'm going to be very careful with things I say right now, because in our world, I'm looking for the church. I'm looking for the light and the salt that God, amen, has given to the world. Let your light so shine before men that they will see his good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. But I'm just saying this clearly because it's easy to get swayed and lulled to sleep. It's easy to become prey to the voices that you hear. Amen. Because it sounds so right. It sounds good. It sounds logical. And if you're not, you'll give it more time to think about than you give what God has given to your spirit to muse over and to meditate on. Anybody catching this right now? God is speaking, but what he says don't equal what I'm seeing. Therefore, we don't walk by sight. We walk by, if you want to be a winner. And so you and I that choose, that's anybody in this world that chooses to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying and give God some time to get it in your spirit so it can take root and grow inside of you, it will produce good fruit. But if all that I think about is what I'm hearing on the news and all the voices of the media, amen, and I give more time to that than I do God speaking into my spirit, guess what kind of fruit I'm going to produce? Worry, frustration, anger, debate. And then the works of the flesh start coming out. And while I'm laying, come on, this is good today because I'd like to get the 3 points here in a minute. While I'm doing that, and I'm producing not good fruit but bad fruit, I'm laying hands on the sick and they're recovering. I want you to pause a minute and catch this. The Amorites could do that through Baal. And Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, did I not cast out? Come on. The enemy could manipulate and counterfeit the God of Israel. Didn't we lay hands on the sick and come on now. Didn't we do many mighty works in your name? And Jesus clearly says, I never knew you. Ye who work iniquity, which is self-will, the worship of self, depart from me. You won't let me know. Pastor Lowe, you're getting strong right now with a word that is hurting my... No, it's helping you. It's helping you to realize the enemy's been lying long enough. And I know there's been questions. If God is with us, then why? And where is he at? If this is true about our God and we're so special to him, then why am I having to deal with this? And why isn't our family more healthy? And why is our children making bad decisions? Silence is good because it'll help you start hearing what Daddy's always been saying. And Jesus goes on in Matthew 7 to say, only few be there that find this. Does that mean there's only going to be a few in heaven? No. No. It's just that the enemy has enlarged his mouth. Scripture calls it hell, has enlarged its mouth to receive the multitudes. It's made its lie bigger. The lie of the enemy has gotten bigger because he's after your identity. Now, we know that God is going to finish what he started. So let me encourage you with some good news. As much as the enemy is a trickster, and as much as he is working overtime to manipulate and control you, amen, we call that witchcraft and sorcery. That's his spirit, is to lie, to manipulate, and to control. Everybody got that? What's he wanting from you? Your identity. If he can get your identity, he gets power now, because you've rejected your power and your anointing and your dominion. He has access to it because he deceived you. He stole it from you. Now his kingdom can grow better. And he will use you as his pawn. I'm preaching to you today because I'm preaching at nobody. I'm letting you know I know, because I've made bad decisions in my life. And unless God came in a very special way, in a time that only he could come and set me free, I couldn't recover from bad choices. And I'm not talking just before ministry. I'm talking about while in ministry. I thank God that he don't see. That's not what he's looking at. He's already covered that. He's already died for that. What he's doing is reminding me, who told you that's who you are? That don't belong to you. That come from another father. This is who you are, and I've got plans for all these things to come out of you. When does this start, Pastor? The moment you decide that I'm going to get into the presence of God right now. The moment you decide, help me, Lord. And so how do we take back our identity? Number one, start telling the truth. Get honest. Amen. Get real. Christianese word, repent. Don't justify the fact that, you know, it's my spouse's fault that I'm in this place, and God knows I couldn't have to, God couldn't even live with my spouse. It's amazing how we'll come up with all kinds of justification on why we do what we do. And so Gideon heard some good news, and when he heard that good news, he was ready for the conversation. Because the good news, amen, is that you're a mighty man of valor. You're going to go take the enemy out. Okay. Since we're having this talk right now, I got some things I need to get off my chest. And he started getting honest with God. He started getting real. He started telling the truth. And God met him there because he knew his heart was there. He was ready for a change. How many is ready for a change today? Amen. And so here we are. We live in a world right now that is lost. The world makes bad decisions. The world makes bad choices. Why does the world make bad choices? They're lost. Why does the world do stupid things? They're lost. Right? And so when you're lost, you don't know how to tell the truth. And you're going to need some good news to help you get honest with where you are. And what right now, most Christians won't hang out with the world. Why? Do I need to say it? Because we're lost. And unless we get honest with God about where we are, I mean, this is good. This is meant. I needed God to deal with me on this because he wanted to take some religious layers off of me. And I had to find myself, amen, in that secret place before God, that religious Dwayne Lowe, that Christianese Dwayne Lowe needed a miracle in his life. And I see now, amen, Gideon is a son in Israel. Israel is lost. How do I know that? They're running from the enemy. They're hiding in strong places and caves. They're lost. And the prophet comes to Israel and lets Israel know, did not I deliver you from bondage? Did not I set you free? And the prophet is giving them good news. Hey, don't forget, God loves you. You're his chosen. How did you get lost? And so we have to come to a place where we start getting honest and we tell the truth about where we are. And when you start getting honest about where you are, amen, then you can make the next step. Because the good news, amen, is the promise of our Father is that he has plans for you. And he wants you to hang out with him long enough, amen, so that you can get honest, number one. And that promise can begin to have the kind of fellowship with you that you truly repent, you change the way you think, and you lay down all that other stuff that don't equal, amen, a God of love, a God of mercy, a God of grace. You lay it all down. And then number two, you take back your identity. Amen. You agree with him on who you really are. And for some today, that might be going over there into that watery grave and being baptized in the only name, the name above every name, the name that everyone will confess. Amen. And you take on the identity of Christ in a watery grave. That may be for some of you, and you that have already done that. But for some reason, since you've done that, you're still wrestling with God over your identity. And the reason you're wrestling with God, because when he speaks to you, it don't add up. Come on. Anybody already been water baptized and you're still going through some challenges? And the only reason you're going through some challenges is we don't understand this word obey. God's not making us do anything. He don't want us to do it because he wants us to do it because we trust him. Obedience is not something that, amen, the enemy tries to give you this idea of God. He's got a whip up there, or he's a mean God, and he's making us do stuff, and he's making us line up. No, he's not. He's a good father. He's truth. He can't lie. Every time he opens his mouth, he's telling the truth, and it's the truth that makes us free. How do we get free? We have intimate fellowship. You shall know the truth. You shall be intimate with you. You shall experience the breath of God, the truth, and you shall be free. That's what the Freedom Class is going to do. If you join in the Freedom Class, you're going to hear from heaven like you've never heard from heaven. And you say, man, he was talking all the while and I didn't know it. Because he's not screaming at us. There's other voices that's screaming at us and reminding us, amen, that we're under their dominion, that we're to be subject to what they say, and we can only do what they say. And we're hiding, trying to maintain some integrity that we are believers. That's what Israel was doing. They were hiding so that at least they could talk about what Father Abraham did and how we were set free from Egypt. And, you know, we are the people of God. I don't know what's going on. How did we get here? And anybody, if you'll ask the Lord what he thinks about how we got to where we are, that's being real. That's telling the truth. Lord, how did I get here? And you say I'm an ambassador. You're saying I'm a child of God. You're saying that I am the salt of the earth. You're saying I'm the light of the world. You're saying that I'm your representative. But how did I get here? Because I don't see any evidence of that. And he's saying, glad you asked. Glad you got honest. I'll tell you the truth now. And every time he speaks the truth, it's called faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Bible. You can hear what the Bible's saying when you read it if you got ears to hear what the Spirit's saying. Otherwise, you'll get in trouble with the Bible, because our temptation is to be intelligent. And we'll try to figure God out reading the Bible, and we'll create Bible studies that will put us on the run from the enemy. But that was a good Bible study. I felt good about that. I felt like every point matched. And next thing you know, you're running and hiding from the enemy, because we didn't let faith be our focus. We walked by sight instead. Have you ever done that as a believer? Instead of walking by faith, you walk by sight? So, when God speaks to us, I don't understand what he tells me, but I need God to help me. And so when he speaks, he brings an experience with that. This is so important. I've got to take my glasses off to tell you this. Look, something happened Saturday morning for me as a man that I don't. And the Lord said, no, that's how you become my man of God. And so God's speaking to me. It's going to help somebody. God's speaking to me, and he's telling me distinctly what he's doing and what his expectations are. And so I decide, okay, well, then when it's time to declare, I'm going to sit down and over here and wait on some confirmation. And it's like the Lord said, okay. So as I sat down to listen for confirmation, I was being the sissy, everybody else was being bold. Everybody walked up there confirming what God was telling me. And because of that, every time someone would say something, it would get deeper in me. Now, I know God's plan is past finding out. And I was like, I better hurry and get up there. And by the time I was able to get up there, his presence was all on me in such a way. You can't take it from me right now. I couldn't stand under his presence. And I couldn't keep a straight face and be manly. I couldn't help but weep profusely, out of control. And only then was he able... He had to help me say what he was putting in my spirit. That kind of experience changes everything. The playing field is totally changed at that point, because you can't figure it out. And lots of us are hearing from heaven, but because it don't add up to our intelligence, we're putting it on hold. And when we put it on hold, we put our identity on hold. This is so important. You've got to get this. Because the only way Christ can be revealed is in the spirit of truth. And I know the enemy's trying to convince us as Christians, we've got 66 books called the Bible. We got all the truth we need. If somebody needs something, they can come to me and I'll give them a Bible study and they'll be okay. What we need is a fresh word from heaven. What we need is to be written epistles read and known of all men. What we need is to let the ear that we say we've given to him to hear what the Spirit is saying, is to speak into the moment, get into the moment. Get in rhythm with the presence of God. Get in harmony with God's song and begin to sing his song with him. Amen. Until he's erupting out of you like rivers of living water and it's going out everywhere. You can't explain it. But some of us are needing that kind of revival. All of us are needing that kind of rendezvous from heaven right now to get some things healed in yesterday. And if we can get that healed, we can pull the weapon out that belongs to us to be the victor and the more than conqueror that God called us to be. Take back your identity. Don't let the enemy be satisfied with you being in a cave, hiding in strongholds, okay with your Christianity, but really there's nothing there that the rest of the nations can see because you're hiding. You're just trying to exist. And you're under the spell of the enemy and you're worshiping at his altars. Got to tear them things down. So, regardless if your place today would be in the watery grave or you're beyond that grave where you agreed and you've been given back authority, you've been given back your name, you're walking in it now, but all of a sudden you're trying to figure out what God's saying. Let it go. You'll never figure him out. The moment you decide you can't figure him out is when he mercifully and gracefully in his love, he'll bring understanding to you at the right time. But what pleases God is that you not understand him. What pleases God is that you have faith and you trust him. Somebody needs to tweet that. God's not looking for us to understand him. He's looking from us to take advantage of his love because he's given us the truth that makes us free. He's asking us to jump and let him have it from there. Trust him. And the final point is walk in the Spirit. Okay. That sounds spooky, Pastor. Walk in the Spirit. I don't have all of God figured out, but I do know this, that I can tell when I'm with Sean Cleary. He carries a unique spirit that God designed him to carry. And he displays a unique character that God designed him to. And he's part of the body in his unique makeup. And he demonstrates the fruit of it. Does this happen to somebody? So when we talk about walking in the Spirit, it's not spooky. And remember this, the Spirit is subject to the prophet. I could have kept staying in that seat Saturday and just said, nope, I'm not going up. And I could have, as we've heard the Christian, quench the Spirit. Because he's not going to make me deliver his word. But he's going to give me the opportunity to be his representative, his platform, to be his mouthpiece, just like he gives you, all of us, the opportunity to do that. To the point that when we come to this place, we only say what we hear our Father say, and we only do what we see our Father do. That's walking in the Spirit. I know that some of us are like, okay, I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to jump on board. How many of you have, at one time or another, you had this problem that happened? And it's come to your life, and all of a sudden, you feel depressed. And you ask yourself, man, you tell yourself, I'm depressed. And yourself says, why are you depressed? And you tell yourself, well, I believe it's because so-and-so is not treating me right. And self will come back and say, I agree with you. Psychologists have a term for that. They call it the disease of introspection. It's when you can walk side by side with yourself and take counsel from yourself as your counselor. That's not a good strategy, is it? We are all laughing because we've all done it. And we felt good about our conclusions and decisions, did we not? Right? Obviously, I'm smart, and they're the problem. I'm not okay, and it's your fault. I got all the evidence. Because I got my counselor with me, which is my lawyer. He agrees. And when you do that, you're not walking in our Father's Spirit. You're walking in a spirit, all right, but you're being puppeted. And the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he don't even want you to know he's there. That's his role. And he's after your identity. Look, when I knew I was supposed to come to Texas, I was learning to hear the voice of God a few years prior to that, and I was getting tuned into it. My wife was observing me, and thank God for her. She just hung out with me as the Lord kept developing my ear. And she saw enough happen that she knew, well, he is definitely hearing something from heaven because it's working out. But I learned something, that every time God would speak, he always brought an experience with it. And every one of those experiences when it was God speaking was like Saturday. I couldn't stand. Every time it was a direction, I couldn't. It was like when you read about Solomon's temple and they offer their sacrifice and then the glory of God came down and nobody could stand. Everybody's on their face. If you're not having experiences with God on that level, let me say it like this. God wants you to experience him more than you want to experience him. But if you don't get honest with yourself and you don't start telling the truth, that means if you don't stop holding on to the past, if you don't start holding on to your ideas of what's going on, well, if God's on my side, then why this? And if you don't start dealing with that, he'll wait on you and he'll let you complain and complain and complain. And he'll never meet you at your complaint. Did y'all know that? What happened to Israel when she complained? Not good. Go check it out. Anytime there was complaint in the scriptures, the people that complained got in big trouble. And it wasn't with God. They opened themselves up because they made a bad decision, and the enemy come in like a flood. Who rescued them? God. From their complaint. It's when we get honest with God about the things that I find in the most inner parts of my being, the images that are on the wall of my imagination, the secret place of God inside your being. When you see those things there and they're there and they're screaming at you, the moment you say, Lord, I don't know what you think about this, but I'd like to know, what do you think about this issue, this idol, this addiction, this relationship problem here? What do you think about it, Lord? The moment you come to him and say, I need to know what you say about it, he'll meet you right there. And because you got honest and you told the truth about where you are, he'll tell you the truth about how he sees it. Not without experience. Not without his very breath changing everything. When God breathes on us, everything changes. When God speaks, life, and life more abundant. Anybody want that today? Quit justifying the hiding. Quit justifying the fact that the enemy's played you. Quit justifying the fact that you're Christian and I've been trusting God, but I don't know where God's at. I've been doing my part. Has anybody ever said that? Like, I've been doing what I can, but I don't know where God's at. The enemy likes that kind of religious deception. Because when I'm following him, signs and wonders are following. When I'm following him, Miracles are happening. People are being saved. But that's not what, when I'm following him, his purpose is being complete, which is I'm coming into the full stature of Christ. That's it. When I follow him, I look like him more. You don't see my bald head. You don't see the age. You see Jesus. Peter had just proclaimed, "Thou art the Son." I'm doing the King James Version. Bring in the New King James. "You are the Son of the living God." And Jesus turned to him and said, "Oh, the only way you can say that, you had an experience. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you." The wind, the Spirit, my Father, he revealed that to you. And because of that revelation, now I'm going to tell you who you are. Instead of Simon, you're Peter. And because of this, what you just did, that's how I'm going to build my church. That's the rock I'm going to build my church on. Right there. Church ain't going to be built on any of the experience of hearing. The experience of saying, "Yes, Lord." And you can't shut up then. "I know who you are. I know who you are." If the church, the bride of Christ, is how Christ is formed and how children are born, that started around 2,000 years ago, didn't it? I like this illustration because it says it all. "And the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and she conceived." We now know who the Father of Jesus is. Do we know who the Father of Jesus is today? And when the Holy Spirit overshadows the bride of Christ, it's the Spirit of Christ, by the way. Oh, by the way, God is a Spirit. And they that worship him, worship him in. When we let him overshadow us, he puts the seed of his word in us, his voice. And what comes out of us is Christ. Anytime you experience the presence of God, Jesus is going to show up. That's your identity. It's time to take it back. We don't go to church. We are the church. We don't do religious things. We're the body of Christ. We're ambassadors. We're serving citizenship papers to everybody we can get them to. The borders are open. The door is open. And we are the children of God. You got a problem? You got a circumstance? You got a relationship issue? You got a disease? You whatever it is, the moment you let him come and overshadow you, the true Christ stands up with dominion, authority, and power. I don't have to understand it. All I need to be is in his spirit. And when I'm there, you can't kill me. Now, this body may die, but you didn't kill me. Whatever you're dealing with right now, the Lord's saying, "When are you going to let me come? When are you going to let me come?" It's time to laser in, isn't it? It's time to take back our identity. And the way I do that is I quit thinking Dwayne's way. I bring every thought, every imagination under to the obedience of Christ. I take vengeance on my disobedience when my obedience is fulfilled. What's he asking from us? Relationship. He said, come get in my lap. I just want to be with you. I want to show you what you've never seen before. I'm not wanting to make you do anything. I just want to show you what you're missing out on. And when you get under his presence, you don't want to be nowhere else. When you experience God on the level he's called us to experience, you're not looking for something to go mess up on. Anybody want to get to the place where you're not looking to, man, I'm not fulfilled. I need to go have fun. I need to find something to fulfill me. No, when you come under the spout where the glory falls out, there ain't nothing compares to that. And you'll get to where, man, I got to have more of that. And you can have more of that. And then you get to have more. And it's eternal. It gets better and better and better. When I get to the place where I don't really matter what people think, all that matters is what my source thinks, he'll work. He'll blow the enemy out. And relationships will come back together. Lives will be changed. Shame will leave. Guilt will disperse. Demons will run seven ways, whatever you want to call them, because they come in all kinds of forms. And they make us their house if we don't have Jesus as king of his kingdom within. And we'll entertain everything they say, and they're very good at what they do because they'll make us think it's Jesus talking. And we'll get satisfied with not being full of joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. We'll get satisfied without having the peace that's beyond my comprehension. We'll get satisfied entertaining all kinds of other things going on in our life and foregoing the kind of kingdom of God God's already given us. Is anybody ready for him to overshadow you? Anybody the bride? Anybody ready for sons to manifest? And the Spirit came upon Jesus when he was baptized. And the Lord said from heaven, this is my son. And he went out, amen, in authority into the wilderness. He came out in power. It's time for you to come out of your wilderness. The enemy's tested you long enough. The Lord's letting you know today the test is over. It's ready for him to be glorified in your life. And when he come back across Jordan, they started following him. The dead were raised. The blind eyes were opened. But more importantly, Israel started taking on her identity. The true Israel of God does that today. And if any one of you believe in Jesus and believe in your identity, it says in Galatians 4, you are the true Israel of God. Father, I thank you for your placed upon us and you've given to us to entertain, to host, to walk in. You've given your Spirit freely to anyone, to whomsoever we are. You are asking us to come and drink of the water of life freely. To camp out with you, to hang out with you, to walk with you. Glory is that your children are coming into the full stature of Christ. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Let the fire fall, let the wind flow. Let a Pentecost happen in every life. Not just once, Lord, but let it happen every day. So that boldness will be upon us. And clarity of vision, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. They can see what they can't comprehend, but they go after it like your warriors, your mighty men and women of valor. It's time to take back what the enemy's taking. This world belongs to you, Lord. And the people in this world you have loved and you purchased, every one of them, we're going after them. Fill me up, Lord, until my cup is running over. Liberate me, Lord, from every lie that the enemy's had influencing me. Every spirit of guilt, every spirit of shame, every lie that destroys the relationships you put in my life, Lord. Come and clear the house. Sweep it out, Lord. Fill this house with your spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and fire. Let me stand. Amen. Prayer team would come and join me. We want to pray with you today. You don't have to leave until you are on fire. Until your life is a well of springing water. Salt in the earth, light for all humanity to see. Amen. Let's sing together. Let's lift our hands. And to you that let us pray with you. Or if you want to stand where you are, be filled with the Spirit.